Hey up, my name's Ben, and this is the 2021 Advent Calendar by the WowWow Files. In this special series, I'll be here with a mini episode every day in the run-up to Christmas, talking about something synonymous with Stoke City. Thankfully, I'm not alone, as I've drafted in one of the greatest Stoke City experts out there to guide us through Advent. He's the Banks to my Pelé, Martin Cook. I get a peek behind the curtain here, like, we're recording the last one in the batch. We're about halfway through the Advent Calendar. I can't believe it. I really can't.
It's flown by. It really has. I'm not sure what am I going to do when there's none left. I don't know what I'm going to do with my evenings anymore.
You can actually just enjoy Christmas. Look, hey, I'm sure there's plenty of room on this podcast if you want to get involved somehow again. And I'm sure there's other plenty of podcasts that'll have you as well, and plenty of other Stoke outlets that'll have you if you want to talk about Stoke some more. But yeah, anyway, for now, I've got you with this. I don't know how we were talking about maybe Banks being the greatest signing that Wellington ever made. I think you come pretty close with the signing for this. I couldn't have picked anybody better to have done this series with. Anyway, I'll stop the loving and because we've only got 10, 15 minutes. We'll run on to day 12. The steel works, I've called this, or the steel works. He certainly did. Freddie Steele was arguably the best Stoke City striker of all time, right?
Yeah, agreed. So we mentioned John Ritchie at the start, who, you know, is regarded as being our record goal scorer or record competitive goal scorer. Freddie Steele played through the Second World War, so his stats are a little bit distorted, some unofficial games, that kind of stuff. But essentially, he scored 220 goals for Stoke and 346 appearances.
Which is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we're talking before about some of the records he still holds.
Mm.
So in terms of Stoke City, he still holds the record for the most goals scored in a season. So he scored 33 goals in one season. He still holds the record for Stoke City for the most goals scored in the Football League, so 140. And he also holds a record, or club record, for most goals scored in the FA Cup, 19. So we've talked about prolific strikers. This guy comes top of the pile, to be honest. There's not many other people in our club's history who can get anywhere near to this guy.
No, quite right. Imagine having all those records against your name. And it's a shame because for me, he's one that goes massively under the radar at Stoke.
Yeah, agreed. So I did an article a year or two ago looking at Freddie Steele's career at Stoke, because it's this fascinating story of a young boy from Hanley who gets signed up and spotted and becomes this truly great goal scorer, goes and plays for England. He's seen as being one of the best strikers of his generation. And then the Second World War comes along, in the prime years of his career, he robbed a little bit. There's a story we'll touch on later on where when he was in his early 20s, he nearly retired due to injuries, and he was hypnotherapy, but managed to get him back on track. So he's this remarkable character, and the story arc is really interesting and intriguing. And it's a little bit of a shame that he goes under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's more circumstance that he's like that, you know, as we'll talk about. Something interesting when I was doing my research for this, he was nicknamed Nobby by supporters. And me and you looked at each other and were like, why? I don't really know. trying to figure out why he would be. So again, I did my digging on this, and a nickname of Nobby is usually reserved of someone, you know, quite high up in society, you know, perhaps quite posh. You pointed out there that he's a local lad, so it's unlikely that he was from, you know, an affluent background. So you imagine Nobby just comes from just how well respected and just how, you know, he was almost royalty at the club. What do you know what he was like as a player?
So from that sort of pig, you can only pick out little bits and pieces based on newspaper reports or from player biography. So the best thing that I've come across from the bit of research I found, it's a quote from Stanley Matthews, who played with him when Matthews was in his first spell at the club. They were essentially both sort of youngsters that were of the club at the same time. And he basically said, whenever the ball came to him, so Steele, reporters in the press box sharpened their pencils in anticipation of the goal. In the penalty box, he was lethal, clinical, and merciless, firing shots from the tightest of angles and the smallest of spaces. In about every game he played for Stoke, Freddie turned in a masterpiece of strength, endurance, polish, and skill, but more often than not, at some stage, left the net billowing. And I just thought that was a beautiful sort of quote that summarizes the kind of player that he was, just this clinical goal scorer that whenever the ball came to him in and around the 18-yard box, you know, reporters are sitting on the edge of the seats, or fans are ready for something to happen. And we spoke about how he's one of the greatest Stoke City strikers in our club's history. But during this period of the 1930s and 40s, he was widely seen as being one of the best strikers or forwards in English football, full stop. You know, so he was a special talent who had that knack of knowing where the back of the net was, which is a priceless commodity even today.
Yeah, you wonder with a record in, what did you say, 220 and 340 odd? So a record of like 2 in 3 almost. You wonder what he'd be worth today. You know, you're talking Messi and Ronaldo numbers, aren't you, pretty much? Clearly, by what you were saying, one of the best players, forget Stoke, one of the best players of his generation, as you were saying. And again, coming from an area like this, and it's great to see that Stoke-on-Trent has produced these great footballers. He was unlucky not to do better. He was very unlucky not to do better. We touched on there that during his peak years as a player, or what would have been his peak years as a player, World War II happened. And from what we were talking about off air, you know so much about this period. It's so interesting.
Yeah, so like a lot of players, you know, Steele lost basically the prime years of his career due to the World War. As a player, you were potentially conscripted into the military, you had to do service, or you moved to different parts of the country. You know, so for a lot of players, both during the First World War and the Second World War, a lot of the players lost the best years of their playing career because of the conflict. So again, you do sort of wonder for people like that, and for Matthews in World War II, or Frank Sue, someone like that, you know, what more could they have achieved if there had been peace, essentially? But even beyond that, you know, Freddie Steele had a couple of really bad injuries during his career as well. So again, if he'd stayed fit as a fiddle and stayed fit and healthy, what more could he have done? But regardless of all that, if you just look at his records and his statistics and we speak for himself, really. Someone who's a local lad, but a little bit magical, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we'll touch on both of the things that you mentioned there. Firstly, the injuries, about to retire at the age of 23, and then hypnotherapy, which at the time, I can't imagine have been a particularly popular method. It's not a particularly popular method today. You wonder how many players would benefit from something like that in today's game, but clearly it worked for him. He come back with a bang, didn't he?
Yeah, so he, in his early 20s, he picked up a knee injury. And although he recovered, he sort of went in for a bad patch of form, lost his confidence, that kind of thing. And he actually had spoken to the manager about retiring completely from the game. It was a Stoke director that said, I know I have a contact who does hypnotism and hypnotherapy and all these different things. Go and see him and see what happens. But you're right, it was a very, very unusual thing to do. You know, it was something that was picked up not just by local newspapers, but newspapers across the country about this football player going to have this treatment and doing hypnotism. It's something that really intrigued people, but was very, very unusual. But it definitely worked, because he scored 9 goals in 4 matches afterwards. So, and then he went on and continued that form for the rest of his career.
It's just remarkable, isn't it? Like, I'm thinking of players today, Stoke players particularly, I'm thinking of someone like Bojan, you know, after his injury and what he went through with Barcelona. I don't know if that's something he tried, but I can imagine something like hypnotherapy working for a player such as that. It sounds like, you know, Steele needed it too.
Yeah, I mean, even now, I think confidence is huge, isn't it, with players, especially, you know, players who are athletes at an elite level. And confidence is a massive part of that. Injury is part and parcel of the game, of course, and it takes an awful lot of mental strength to come back from serious injuries. You know, regardless if you're an amateur on a Sunday afternoon, or you know, or a first team player at a pro club. And it's interesting how, or even here, you know, sort of in the 1930s, you know, here's someone trying something completely new. And for him, for whatever reason, it worked. And it got him back on track. But it is interesting, and I wonder how much more these sort of techniques are used now. I know a lot of clubs have psychologists and do, you know, psychology workshops and that kind of stuff for players. But this was a very, very novel and unusual thing to do, and even more so to admit at this time. But it worked, and it's a really interesting part of his story.
Yeah, exactly right. And from one interesting part of his story to another, we mentioned World War II there and that time and how that robbed him of his best years. We were talking about off air how, despite him being, I think, a Stoke City legend, that's fair to say, and one of the greatest strikers of all time, he, like basically every football player that was able to play during World War II, he played for a lot of clubs. And I didn't know why this was possible until you told me.
Yeah, so during the Second War, because so many players were being drafted into the armed forces or the military and were serving, you know, either in Britain or abroad, a lot of football players went and did or found employment in sort of affiliated industries like bullet workshops, that kind of stuff. But the FA brought in something called the guest system, where if a player was in the RAF, for example, and was based in London, but was a player for Stoke City, they were allowed to play for a Chelsea or QPR or an Arsenal as long as Stoke gave them permission, because teams were that short of players to use. But it created this remarkable environment where, you know, you could turn up on a Saturday afternoon as a supporter and you could have any number of random players playing for your team that were from other clubs and that were guesting for you. You know, so some wonderful stories of lower league supporters turning up on a match day, you know, and from lower divisions, and having England internationals turning out for them and walking out on their strip. It was a really unique time period, and it created some wonderful little moments. But, you know, same for, what did I think, Sue, in a few episodes time, but same for him. He went and guested for a number of different clubs because he was working in the RAF at the time. But it's a really remarkable part of football's history in this country. And I think Simon Lowe has written a really fascinating book about Stoke City's time as a club during the Second World War. And he knows a lot more than me, potentially, about all of this stuff. So definitely go and give his book a little read, those who are listening.
There you go, then. So, well, it is Christmas. Get yourself a Stoke City book and learn something. I might do that. I actually thinking about it. I feel like I need to add that to my list of books I intend to read. But there you go. Freddie Steele. And I'll just close out with this. I think we touched on before how, like, he isn't known as one of the greatest these days, I feel. Even though he is recognised, of course he is. People will always name other players first. And we also touched on the fact that, you know, he's a local lad. We touched on a few local lads in this podcast already. Out of those who we've mentioned and others who we may either come on to mention or not mention at all, do you reckon that Freddie Steele might be perhaps the most gifted football player to have come out of Stoke? Or is that pushing it a little bit?
I think the greatest or most gifted will always be Stanley Matthews.
Well,
Freddie Steele would definitely be up there in that list. A fun thing to do at some point, would someone put together a greatest Stoke City 11 of all time?
Oh.
Because I'm sure that Freddie Steele will be in one of those places. But he was a remarkable player. His goal scoring record speak for himself. There's loads of really interesting caveats and tangents to his story and to his narrative. A really interesting guy to look into. You know, and the first truly great striker of the sort of the modern era, if you like, or sort of pre-modern era. But again, you know, Martin pops up with his useless facts, so I'll do another one to end. But Freddie Steele did, after he retired from playing, he did actually go on to manage Port Vale. So he managed Vale during one of their most successful periods in their history, when they won the third division title and they reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup in the mid-1950s. So another little tangent and parallel with Stanley Matthews there as well.
Yeah, there you go. You know, a lovely bit of charity work there from Steele. Good for him. yeah, like, I just think now, of all the players that have come out of Stoke-on-Trent over the years, imagine Power League back in the 1930s. It must have been flooded with talent. The five-a-side team must have been one of the best in the country. That's a shame. It probably didn't exist back then. Anyway, with that, I think we've talked about Freddie Steele enough. I think this episode's dragged on a little bit longer than some of the others, but I think well justified. That will close day 12 of the 2021 Advent calendar. Thank you very much again, Martin. I honestly don't know where you'd be without your, you know, your history knowledge and your facts, whether they be useful or useless. I love them all, right? And I'm so appreciative for you being here. Like I say, we're halfway through now. And like the fact that I'm still enjoying it, and the fact that you seem to be enjoying it too, and I'm pretty sure everybody listening is appreciating something, you know, related to Stoke City, something positive and lighter about Stoke City every day. Yeah, I've really appreciated this, and I'm sure everybody else does too. If you do appreciate it, again, another reminder that we are running a fundraiser throughout this 2021 Advent calendar. It's for the Donna Louise Trust. If you want to donate, you can do so using the link in the description or the one I've been posting on social media. No pressure, no obligation, there's no goal or anything like that. I put some money towards it. Martin said that he will do the same. It's just if you're able to spare a couple of quid, it's better something nice to do over Christmas, but only if you're able and willing, of course. No obligation or anything like that. And of course, this podcast is all about you Stoke fans, just like Martin is. If you want to tell your Stoke City story, head to the wywowfiles.com/get involved. Find out how you can do that. Listen to the back catalogue so you know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking to interview people in the new year, some exciting plans for the new year. I'm so ready to get back going interviewing people for this podcast, because it's been a couple of months since I have, so it'd be great to have people back. But for day 12 of the Advent calendar, that's it. Thank you very much for listening. And until the next one, Vizinita Fortior.